Welcome to Step Into the Pivot. We're your hosts. I'm Teresa Conti.
And I'm Ivan Apollonio. We talk with people just like you. We have honest conversations about current issues that women and men face and how we pivot to address them in our lives.
This podcast is your companion as you step into a workout or take some time for yourself.
Hey, Teresa. Hello. I hear you're doing some research on a buzzword, but it's not a buzzword. It's an important word. A lot of people are talking about it. So it is very buzzy, burnout. So can you tell us about what you're finding in as you're digging into it?
Yeah, I think burnout is something that we don't really talk about, and we definitely should. And so I have been doing a ton of research about it. I think that I really want to start with some of the things that we can do for ourselves, whether we have burnout or just kind of on a regular basis, things that we should be aware of and that we should do. So John Hopkins published this report called Stress on the Job, 4 Tips for Working Women. And, you know, we have women particularly have some very unique challenges, right? Like childcare, domestic responsibilities, things like that, that seem to pile up on us. So those 4 things, which I really love, number one is exercise, right? A lot of us sit behind a desk or talk on a Zoom call all day long, and that is really hard. So, you know, spending that time for exercise, right? Whether that's regular movement into your day, whether that's, you know, working out in the morning or working out at night, whatever works for you, right? Making sure you do that. I don't know about you, but I wear a fitness tracker sometimes, and I hate it when it buzzes because it tells me I've sat here too long.
Here's my counter.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. The second one on their list is sleep. And sleep is such an important thing. You know, I know that for me, that if I have a crazy day and I don't like kind of do my wind down, I usually don't sleep well. And I really struggled with that a few years ago. I mean, so badly that I talked with my doctor about it. And I was like, why do I keep waking up in the middle of the night? Why am I awake for these hours in the middle of the night, right? And she kind of taught me how to sleep, how to wind down, how to, if I do wake up, how to get myself back to sleep, right? And I think some of that is, you know, that we don't follow regular schedules either, right? They say that you should follow regular schedule because having good sleep will boost your mood, help us deal with things more effectively. You know, if you're tired, you're just not as good during the day. The third one is seeking out happiness, right? Find some time for yourself to do something that's pleasurable, something that brings you joy. I don't know what that is. For me, that varies based on the day because I love to do different things. I clearly love to have fun with things. I love to spend time, you know, doing stuff I really enjoy, whether that's reading a book, whether that's, I don't know, playing a game, putting a puzzle together, you know, some of it, any of those kind of things, but really finding something that brings you joy. If you have kids, maybe it's spending, you know, an hour at night playing with them, you know, instead of worrying about work or the dishes in the sink. And the final one that's on their list is social support. You know, that social network is so important, and having friends and having people you can connect with really, really can help you if you're struggling with burnout. So those are the 4 they recommended. I'm sure there's many more that our listeners could share with us that work for them, but those were really the top 4 that John Hopkins found.
Okay, so let's walk through it again. So exercise.
Sleep.
What was number 3?
Number 3 was finding happiness, right? Seeking out happiness, something that brings you pleasure or joy.
And then social support?
Yep. You got
it. Okay, so when you're thinking about all these 4, you've given us some really cool examples now, but I want you to think back on, you know, some really big experiences of burnout in your career. Yeah. Moments when you really felt, you know, the big overwhelm and some of the symptoms that were physical, emotional, you know, soul level symptoms. Can you tell us a little bit about it? And then I'm curious if you think that, you know, if you go back and talk to that Teresa in the middle of her burnout, you know, would these have helped?
Yeah. And that's a really great question. So I want to circle back to that one because I think we can talk a lot more about that. But I will tell you from my perspective, yeah, I had massive burnout going on, especially post-COVID. Didn't really know what was going on, right? Because sometimes you don't recognize it. You don't recognize the physical or emotional or mental symptoms of burnout, right? And there's a lot of them. There's a list, and, you know, I'm sure you could Google it and find that. But I think for me, I felt the pressure to always be on, right? Oh, it's Teresa. You have to be on. Like, you have to be this certain thing that people think you are. And that was definitely one of them. I also found that just like little things would nag at me, right? I'd wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I wouldn't be able to go back to sleep because I had this thing in my brain that was, you know, going on. And I had to learn how to kind of make my body relax again so that I could go back to sleep and get the sleep I needed, right? Because when I did that and I was awake for a few hours in the middle of the night, you're not good the next day, right? You don't have that energy that you should have after getting a good night's sleep, right? And I know, Ivana, you and I talked about this. You've experienced that recently. I know you have. So why don't you talk about that for a minute?
Yes. So we just went on a mini vacation and, you know, flew to Hawaii. And really the biggest event that happened was sleep happened on this trip that was, you know, so special. And yeah, probably the most precious thing that we did was just, you know, some really nice, like 8 hour nights. I think we had like 3 nights in a row that were 8 hours. I clocked in 8 hours, 30, and I could totally feel it. And then what happens is you encounter something that's more difficult, that's more challenging. Maybe there is a little bit of, you know, some, you know, marital bickering going on, and it's just, oh, we'll figure it out. It's easier. You're more available. You know, so from that perspective,
yeah,
absolutely.
And I think as women, sleep is a big one, right? Especially as we start going through menopause, or maybe when you have young children who are getting you up in the night. I mean, that sleep are precious moments for you, right? So really having that capacity to recognize it and really kind of work through it, I think are incredibly important.
Oh, wow. That's a really great word, you know, capacity. I was doing some research for Monday Momentum, which is a publication that goes out weekly from Courageous Being. And I saw some really good research, good work from folks from McKinsey. They publish Women in the Workplace, and their 2022 and 2023 rendition of the research really highlighted how women in leadership roles, particularly at the director level, are leaving their jobs more frequently compared to previous years. And this is one of the aspects of what's now known as the great breakup phenomenon. And it has to do with capacity. And it's, you know, we see the departure rates among women in director level positions exceed those of men in similar roles. And it's basically pointing out to this shifting landscape where women are checking in when it comes to their capacity, prioritizing experiences and looking for workplaces that will align with their values and aspirations in response to great demands of their roles, of their professional roles. So basically what this means is that there is an action that women are taking collectively in the workplace in pursuit of greater flexibility in their work arrangement, because they're looking to do exactly what you were talking about from the micro level, right? Harmonizing professional and personal responsibilities. So when I think about that as something that's, you know, a big, big trend, takes me back into, you know, this is something external. It takes me back to an internal level. Because when you were listing the four solutions, I love them all. I've been, you know, trying to implement them, sometimes with greater success, sometimes with less success. And it's an ongoing practice. Sleep, exercise, connecting with folks. And sometimes it can be one and the same thing. Like chatting with you here is both an expression of social support, me like really feeling that I'm a member of the Pivot community. I'm a pivoter. You're a pivoter.
Yes.
And there's so much fun in it too. So there's levity and playfulness, and we are working, right? So it can be all of, but one thing I didn't hear them mention, and I know for me, it was the most important solution. It was to really, again, go inward and consider doing some inner work, because like those examples that you were mentioning with, even when you're waking up in the middle of the night and then you need to do something differently to get yourself back to sleep, quieting, but really sustainably quieting the inner voices that are popping up and really harmful on the inner level, those are going to mess up any vacation you're on. You can set up all the conditions to be resting and recharging, and you can, you know, take off projects off your list and have collaborative conversations with your colleagues and your boss about, you know, taking on less or you know, in some ways really easing things on an external level, if you don't stop basically bashing yourself on the inside, burnout persists. That was my personal experience, and learning some techniques how to deal with that was really important.
Yeah, because we shame ourselves sometimes, right? Like, you know, I love to go for a massage. I think most people love to go for a massage, facial, whatever that looks like for you, right? And I'd find myself, I'd go, you know, I'd have that scheduled and I'd be like, oh, I'm just too busy. I can't go. Or I'd go and all I'd be doing is thinking about the things I should have been doing instead of taking some time for myself, giving myself a little bit of grace to know that I needed to take that time for myself. It makes me a better person for my work, for my family, for everything, right? But it's really hard for us to do sometimes because we have, you know, 9,000 other things that we think we should be doing, but really making sure we're prioritizing them correctly and prioritizing yourself is really important. It's taken me a long, long time to figure that out. And I'm still not perfect at it. I think none of us are or ever will be, but I find I'm a lot more forgiving of myself now when it comes to that.
I think one interesting exercise to try out is, like, would you judge your friend for doing it? So, like, I would have no problem with you, Teresa, getting a massage, but booking one for myself, oh my gosh, my birthday's coming up. And I can't tell you, like, the mental gymnastics that are taking place around, like, should I book one on my birthday? Should I not? I mean, the amount of energy I've depleted, I've expended, you know, just deciding whether I'm worth it.
Right.
But if you asked me,
you are worth it.
I booked that massage.
You need to. And like, I will tell you what I do now is I book mine out in advance. I always have one more scheduled for next month or the next 6 weeks or whatever that looks like. And it really takes a big act for me to cancel that. Like something really big would have to happen for me to cancel that. I just know that, you know, I do work out every day and sometimes my body needs to have a massage to help with that. Sometimes my mind, it's a mental relaxation where I can just shut the world off and listen to the music and, you know, those kind of things. So I'm using massage as the example, and maybe that's not your thing, but there's something out there that is. Maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's, you know, taking a walk. I don't know what that is for you, but I think finding it is what's important.
Yeah, exactly. So I think what we're talking about here is really taking personal responsibility for your well-being, and it can look like a lot of different things. And it's not going to be the same thing. What works today will not work tomorrow, or what works today could work for a while and then it will stop working. And all of that is okay. There's no formula in that regard. And sometimes your circumstances are such you can't afford a massage. I've been there. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And now I'm very close to looking at my budget and seeing if that fits. But there is something else that I can do. And always could have done, you know, in those moments when I was choosing to be so hard on myself when I had too much on my plate anyways.
And exactly. And like for me, another one of them is just the social aspect of my life. I love my girl. Like, and that doesn't mean we have to go out someplace expensive. That means you can come here and sit on my patio and have a glass of wine with me or a soft drink or whatever that looks like, but at least to have that connection. So, and at different times, it's different things, right?
Yeah.
Maybe today it's a massage and maybe tomorrow it's a glass of wine with my girlfriend, or, you know, maybe it's a walk around the fountain on a Saturday morning or whatever that looks like. I honestly try to do something every day because I think it makes me a better person and makes me more aware.
Absolutely. And on an internal level, you know, it really becomes a moment by moment practice. Moment by moment, you know, am I noticing the time right now and that it's time to start winding things down with our 20 is plenty approach? Am I, you know, choosing to take a drink of water while I'm noticing in an important meeting that I'm getting thirsty? It's okay to do that, you know, so like taking care of yourself looks like that. And this is not to say that collectively, and that's what we were bringing up McKinsey and the research and women in the workplace, that collectively we don't have a responsibility to look at things big picture and really make it easier for each other and really invest more in diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives and lift each other up and really do something from that like external and collective standpoint. But on an internal level, you have control over, right?
And you mentioned like those inner voices are strong in us a lot of times, right? I should be doing this, or I shouldn't be doing this for myself because I have this to do, or whatever that is. They are strong and they can happen anytime, any place, anywhere. And, you know, you have to not shame yourself, give yourself that grace to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you gave us the bullet points in the beginning, the four biggies, and then we added the inner work fifth. Walk us through it one more time. How can I, the pivoter and our pivot community, how can we take better care of ourselves?
Yeah, I think some of them are, you know, I think sometimes people recognize it in you, but don't know how to help you. So I'd love to end this with some things that you could do, or you could say to others, or you could use as some thoughts to help, whether it's you who has burnout or whether you notice it in somebody else, right? That they might be struggling. Some of the things we can do is listen without judgment, help them set goals or boundaries, right? Suggest some resources. I mean, it could even be a mental health thing that they need to. Check in with them. Be patient and understanding. I think all of those things are so important for us to recognize and, you know, and help each other with, whether it's you recognizing in me or me recognizing it in you, or me coming to you and saying, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you listen to me for a few minutes? And I think that is so important that as a community, we work together with that.
Yeah. And similar invitation to do that for yourself. Listen to yourself without judgment. If you're noticing that from the inside, you're saying to yourself, okay, I've had enough. I have to stop right now. Like really honor that and check in regularly, check in and then offer yourself some resources. And it can look like a lot of different things that, you know, willingness to look.
And it's not the same for everybody, right? What you need may not be what my other girlfriend needs or whatever. And, you know, just having that capacity, I think, is so important for both yourself and others. So again, that's totally true. So let's end with, if you have a pivot, step into it.
And if you have a story about your pivot that you are ready to share, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Step Into the Pivot. We hope you found inspiration and valuable insights from our conversation. Remember, life is a series of pivots, and it's in those moments of change that we truly grow.
If you enjoyed today's episode and want to stay connected, make sure to check out our websites. You'll find additional resources, behind-the-scenes content, and more details about our incredible guests. We love hearing from listeners, so reach out with your thoughts, questions, or your own pivot stories.
To keep the conversation going, be sure to follow us on social media. We're on LinkedIn and Instagram, where we share updates, quotes, and engage with our amazing community.
If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Your feedback makes a difference, and it helps us bring you meaningful conversations. We're signing off, reminding you that every pivot is a step forward. Take care, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Step Into the Pivot.